Blog Talk Radio. Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
I think of hearing that tone, I think of Julia Roberts, Julia Child, in Julia and Julie.
Yeah, that's funny because I think of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yes. Oh, there we are. I don't know what that means, but it may be significant about our personality. Who knows? I don't cook, though. That's the funny part. I do not cook, so that's probably even more of an oxymoron. So, obviously, our wonderful show is being done well before it will be aired because we have the holiday season.
Yes, we're doing a few pre-records to prepare for much celebrations.
Oh, yes. Something. Whatever that may be.
Yeah.
So this one, you know, usually our natural pattern is what did we do during the week. So it's going to be a little bit bizarre because there's no week to discuss.
Yeah.
But
although I figure, you know, someone might be listening to this like 2 years from now and it won't have any relevance to them anyway.
Unless it's historic about something that happened in the world that we talk about, which actually with, you know, Senior Bush having passed, I think it does note a certain time in our history of the United States, hopefully.
Yes.
Well, you know, think of it this way. We've lost one Bush that we didn't necessarily always like, but had more sanity than the present president. You know.
It's really sad when the bar gets set so low.
I know.
But, you know.
I know. It's kind of like, oh, my gosh. But, and, you know, our weather here has actually been very wintry for our area where we will be, where I will be. Well, you're going to be next week on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'll be in Pittsburgh. I have no idea what I'm in for.
Neither do I. But I know that, you know, they've had storm warnings. And
oh, now you're making me nervous.
Well, that's the Midwest, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like Arkansas. So holiday weather will be ensuing for us, whether we are presently here in the state or weeks now from when you get this.
Right. For years or whatever.
For years. Millennia.
Magic. Yes.
It is magic. So, actually, I wanted to say something about our intro. I really feel when we say professional witches, I kind of want to have not just a certificate, because, I mean, we always, you know, every class, every workshop, every apprenticeship program I have gone to, whether it's witchcraft or hoodoo or anything, there's pieces of paper that give it to you. So just certificates. I said a long time ago, I have a huge stack now since my life has gone on for many years here doing this. I'm going to paper my one wall. I'm just going to put it as wallpaper because, you know, I mean, there they are, all the things I've done. But when you say professional witches, I feel we should have some kind of like badge or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, something that says, like, you know, I'm an FBI agent right here. I feel we should have, like, I am a professional witch here.
Yeah, I like it.
I think we should think about that as, you know, the call to arms, so to speak, in our world. It doesn't matter what kind of witch we have, you know, what tradition or where or how who we are.
Right.
It just should have that, like, we have a collective professional witch. So.
Right.
I don't know how we'll do that, and that's something for, you know, future generations maybe, but saying it makes me think we should have something tangible.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay,
I like
good.
It.
Well, out there, maybe you might send in some suggestions. We'll see what comes in.
A sash, a badge, a button, a certificate. Let us know what you think.
Yes. Yeah. So there you are. That was my thought for the day after all of what we've been waiting to do. So what's your thought for the day without being the week?
Well, today is my 10-year wedding anniversary.
Ho, ho, yay.
That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very busy with work today. Yeah, it's a lot because, you know, I have an event this weekend. You'll hear all of this again tomorrow, Elvira. So.
I'm sure I will, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm working all weekend, and then next week I'm going to the East Coast on kind of a last-minute trip, and I'll be gone mid-week, and it's the busiest time of the year for the shop. So basically today and tomorrow are the only days I have left to do all the things before I go out of town.
Right.
So I'm booked to the hilt today and tomorrow, and I have to do dumb things like I need to call and get a new quote on my health insurance and probably add my husband to my insurance policy because he doesn't have insurance. And that's going to be a pain in the ass and take way longer than I want it to.
Right.
Right. I
got to
do that kind of crap.
Right.
But I waited till Mercury was out of retrograde to deal with that stuff.
Lucky you.
So tomorrow is the phone health insurance. It's even on my calendar. Health insurance phone call. But I also have fun stuff, like I have a little new moon group and we're having a little ritual on Monday, and then I'm going to see my friend who just had a baby, and we have a new employee at the shop.
Ooh.
Well, I won't say it on the air. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah, just in case they don't want to be
known, outed in the middle of, you know, all of the world.
Yeah, and then I have another friend who's having a baby shower next weekend, and we had her blessing way last weekend.
Oh.
The winter solstice ritual with Starhawk and Sebastopol is coming. So there's so many fun things.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, I just feel like, oh, too many things. So.
No. That's the feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually said as she was walking in the door, it isn't Christmas yet because until this weekend, because of when, obviously, next, tomorrow, all the things that have happened will be discussed on air as the what happened thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just, to me, it's been one thing after another.
Yeah.
That needs to be, you know, it's like.
Yeah.
And there's been. Where's the holiday spirit?
Yeah.
Where do you feel?
Yeah, I'm not quite feeling it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I also work at Lucky Mojo.
Right.
3 days. And, oh, there's a new thing there, which I will share on air because it's actually kind of modern.
Mm.
I know. But this being said, I've been watching on my half-hour lunch on my Netflix, White Christmas. So I get about 20 minutes of, you know, White Christmas movie to try and stay buoyant with the idea that this is a holiday time and, you know, this kind of process. So I've sort of been injecting myself with holiday spirit every once in a while. It wears off very quickly, but then there you are.
Yeah.
So with that, our subject matter for today, seemingly, I don't know if it's holiday-ish or not, is Thor.
Happy holidays!
Let's talk about Thor.
I think Thor's bloat is in January.
Oh, okay.
But whatever.
Well, it's close enough that we're going to be, I don't know where this is set in our pre-record, so who knows, it may be close enough to that time. So, obviously, we have opened our feminine perspective up to talking about gods. We have talked about some others on other shows. So,
yeah.
Go for it. Thor. I will let you kind of start the process, and
where do I
he is kind of part of your own.
Yeah. So, as I've mentioned before, you know, I'm a polytheist, and I am not pantheon specific. My personal pantheon is made up of five different cultures, actually. None of the gods I work with on a daily basis are even from the same culture. Is that true? Now I have to really think about that for a second. No, it's true.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Anyway, so Thor is one of the gods that I work with on a daily basis. Uh-huh. And, you know, as I've mentioned, I have a book coming out. It's coming out in October of 2019. I just got my release.
Goody. Congrats.
But in that book, I talk about working with gods and ancestors and fae. And in the gods section, I talk about building relationships with deities generically. And then I break it down into 9 specific deities that I'm either interested in or have a relationship with. And Thor is one of those. Uh-huh. So if you are interested in developing a relationship with Thor, and not necessarily a Norse reconstructionist type of relationship, my relationship with Thor is not traditional in any way, shape, or form. It's much more eclectic,
mm-hmm.
And I think probably modern. But he's the people's god.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember, I say it also, like sometimes I'm like, God, I repeat myself so much because I teach about this topic so
mm-hmm.
much. But, you know, we talk about these deities as if all of the Norse world, you know, Denmark and Iceland and Norway and, all the Scandinavian countries, as if they all did the same thing all the time. Thor is Germanic and Scandinavian and what's another one? Saxon,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a long lineage.
And he comes from, I mean, if I remember correctly, even the crossover to Hittite.
Right.
You know, there's like this Cretan Hittite, because there's a certain, it's they travel. I mean,
yeah,
think
travel.
Of it, it's travel, you voyage, you do the things, and he's actually, one of the things he is the god of voyaging,
mm-hmm.
you know, for commerce. But I just found that fascinating.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're right, I thought it would just be.
Yeah.
That.
Right. And the difficult part is most of what we have, most of the writings we have about Thor
mm-hmm.
come from Snorri Sturluson. I'm probably butchering that. But they were written in, he's from Iceland.
Right.
So it's not even someone of the Scandinavian countries necessarily. I mean, Iceland is sort of pseudo-Scandinavian.
Right, right,
but,
right.
So it's complicated, and we as modern witches and pagans sort of think of gods or Thor specifically as this one lumped ideal.
Right.
But there are so many other layers and customs and cultures and
yeah.
traditions that are smaller and more regional. So we
right.
have to remember that. And to add another layer. Again,
like
yes, we see this thread that happens all over the planet where there's a more earth-based focus of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Norse system, that was the Vanir.
Mm-hmm.
The quote-unquote old gods, what you might have considered the Titans in Greece,
right?
Right? And they are the gods of fertility and land and the cycles of life and
right.
of the earth. And then something happens and the sky gods come. Like I use Greece always as an example because most people learned about Greece.
They learned that as in part of the
school. Right?
Yeah.
So in Greece, Zeus comes, the head of the Olympians, the sky father, da-da-da-da, and in the Norse system, that's Odin,
right.
the Sky Father, the All Father, the leader of the gods. That didn't exist before. And the Aesir, the new gods, and the Vanir, the old gods, warred
mm-hmm.
for thousands of years. They were constantly battling. And finally they were like, okay, dudes, we're never going to finish this battle. We need to make a truce. Let's trade some gods. So I don't remember who the Aesir supposedly sent to live with the Vanir, but the Vanir sent Freya and Freyr, the twins,
uh-huh.
and their father Njord, the god of the sea,
uh-huh.
to go and live with the Aesir.
Uh-huh.
So we think of, like, Thor and Freya have a very interesting relationship,
right.
but they're not really related. They're from two different tribes
uh-huh.
that had to find peace and come together. And so, you know, people love Odin, and I love Odin too, and Odin is problematic.
Uh-huh.
And Odin, historically, was the wealthy man's god.
Uh-huh.
He was the people in leadership, the people with wealth, the people who were stable and solid, and that was not most people.
Yeah.
Most people were farmers trying to eke their way by
right.
in cold freaking climates.
Right.
Or, you know, we think of the Vikings getting on their boats and going and raiding and pillaging. Well, that was how they survived.
Yeah.
And they worshipped Thor. Thor was the god of the people.
And it's interesting because if you think, you know, you were saying this and it opened up a whole point of reference. if you look at, and I mean, we because our lineage is truly either the Mediterranean, Middle Eastern area, plus, you know, the Europeans going up into, you know, the Nordic areas. So that area is what we contrast back and forth, the Greek and the, you know, and the Nordic and the, you know, how this happens. But if you think about it, and I would wonder if that being an idea, is to look at all the different cultures that had exactly that, indigenous-based deities.
Right.
And then a transition occurs to add this other layer, and there's these wars.
Yeah.
I happen to like the fact that in the Nordic tradition, they basically said, let's get together, send some of your kids over here, I'll send some of my kids over there, that keeps us kind of equal. Because in the more Greek traditions and the Titans and the Olympians, they just fight till they annihilate them.
Right.
And I find that highly distasteful.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes into present days where everybody wants to annihilate the persons they don't like,
right.
You know, and we're sitting here going, well, the whole idea was, and in tribes they did that, I think, more than we realize, because we don't know, because it's not written down, that they would send different, you know, it wasn't just marrying your daughter off to the tribe over here.
Right.
It was they would send their men.
Right.
They would send their male children so that they could live more harmoniously because, well, you got one of ours and we got one of yours kind of thing.
Right. We're now related.
We're related.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the, you know, to just go on a tangent about Norse mythology for a minute, one of the beliefs is that Freya and Freyr were the most beloved.
Mm-hmm.
They were the most beloved of all of the Vanir. And we know a little bit there are other gods that are part of the Vanir that have survived the test of time, but mostly their names are lost, right?
Right.
So there's also some wisdom from the conquering peoples that brought Odin, and it's likely they came from what we could consider Germany up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's likely what happened, because Wotan is an older Germanic god. It's likely what happened, but we don't really know. So it was also wisdom of those conquering peoples to go, okay, well, you guys got Odin, and we got Odin, and you're not going to let go of Freya and Freyr, so let's just invite them to the party. Like,
right.
Instead of trying to annihilate, like you said, the old gods, we'll make the table bigger. Like, there's wisdom there.
And they gave them equality. That was the other part. They didn't just come in. It's like, oh, you go sit down at that table all the way down at the end of the hall.
Yeah.
They gave them places of honor.
Right.
And votes, so to speak.
Right. And in acknowledging that even if they tried to say, well, they're not as important, the people would have not fallen in love with that.
And I think if you think of that, then you go to another part, is that kind of a thing was what happened with Christianity when they incorporated the goddess as Mother Mary and all the different ways they have moved the people situation. I mean, obviously knocking down our groves and putting churches on top was not exactly the most congenial way to get it, but it was a power structure. But the way they got the people to engage is they kept this other thing. They made Bridget a saint. They did all these different things that they could do. But, you know, again, it's a history lesson in some ways.
Yeah.
But that's what when we talk about these deities, it really is, because we're never going to know what it was like and what this energy was from way back.
No, even with all the historical study, even with, you could be a freaking archaeological expert, a sociological expert, and we still don't know.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at it with a modern lens.
Exactly.
So we have to just take it all with that. And I am of the belief that these entities, these gods, they change too. They evolve.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of how they stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because one of the things that is my personal experience of Thor that is vastly different from the writings is that he's kind of a dullard. He's a bit dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's impatient. He's absolutely impatient. I don't think that's changed. But he has a wicked sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not come through in the old tales of him.
Right.
In the old tales, he does not want to be made fun of, even though he puts himself in situations all the time to be ridiculed.
Right.
But he's the biggest and the strongest, and he'll beat the shit out of anyone that tries to make it hard for him.
Right.
You know? But my experience of him in a modern perspective is that he's much more humorous than what the ancient stories of
mm-hmm.
him relate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So I think they evolve.
Yeah.
And so, yes, what does the history say? Know that, understand it, have a feel for it in your bones, but also trust your modern experience.
Right.
And how it comes through for you right now.
Right, right. Because, first of all, we are modern. We're not going to go back
right.
to, you know.
I like flushing toilets.
I do. I like my running water.
Water, yeah.
And on top of that, I also like the electricity and the
yeah.
heat and, you know, the
I
things
do,
that
too.
I get that are part of it.
Yeah.
But it's also about being able to bring that forth. And you're right. I believe they do evolve. I do believe that what you see now in our visions and statues and pictures
yeah.
are more modernized versions of them because they are coming from our lens.
Yeah.
And anything that we've seen that is primitive mm-hmm. of the goddess, and, you know, we've seen, you know, statues with very simple
mm-hmm.
aspects, hips and breasts for women, and, you know, that was about it. There wasn't any kind of, you know, gold locks or
right.
you know, other things. Those
right.
were adornments that may have come later, obviously.
Yeah,
but I found this deity interesting because, of course, on top of that, he has been made into a comic book character.
Yeah, and a movie.
And movies, and
yeah.
you know, and
that's
so
the other thing we have to remember is he's been modernized in a way that no other deity has.
Right.
He is a famous worldwide movie star.
Yes, he is.
And some of his story and how he's portrayed is not that different than
mm-hmm.
how he really is. Now,
mm-hmm.
the thing that annoys me the most is there's no red beard. He should have a fucking red beard.
God dang, that should be right. That is the one thing I get mad about, of all the stupid things. Well,
but,
and I mean, because they have him clean shaven, and yes, he has the blonde,
yeah.
you know, the long blonde hair, but it's blonde. It's not
right.
red. This is
right.
the point. They made a big point in all of these descriptions of the red beard and the
yeah.
red hair, and
yeah.
it was not just because of those wonderful people like my co-host that has red hair, but it is because that is part of the iconography of
yeah.
this character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you have to take that into consideration too, and how he's going to show up now for modern people like Thor. And I said this before. I've probably said this when we've done other Norse stories.
Mm-hmm.
But when the first Thor movie came out, the Marvel movie, I said to my partner, "Watch. There's going to be a surge in interest in
mm-hmm.
heathenry and Asatru and
mm-hmm.
Norse
mm-hmm.
religion. There's going to be a surge, I bet you." And there totally freaking has been. I called it.
Yep.
Because he's a gateway drug. He's opened the door
mm-hmm.
for people who want to know more about Norse myth or who are fall in love with Chris Hemsworth because, sure, yeah, he's delicious. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
let's fall in love with Chris Hemsworth, and that's going to open the door.
Right.
All of a sudden, I'm going to be making out with Freya. Like,
right.
Yeah, like that. It
yeah.
happens.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think any opening, because, yeah, are we going to get looky-loos who want to dabble and then they disappear? Sure, but that's always going to be true.
It's always in anything.
But it opens the door wider for people who are looking for this
right.
path and don't know it yet.
Right.
I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but I think it's great.
Well, it's because I would call the viewpoints we hold is we honor the traditions and we honor the ancients, but we also are in the modern world, is right, you call it. And it is a beginning step, just like, you know, some of the movies that they did with Ray Harryhausen and the way back ones with, you know, the Olympians
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the different things that they did with, you know, those stories.
Right, Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans,
yeah.
and then they upgraded to Clash of the Titans 2.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean,
even TV shows like Charmed or
yes.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
yes.
and they have a Charmed reboot right now.
Yes, I know they do.
Right? These things open the door. They're a gateway drug for people to start exploring witchcraft and paganism, and I think it's
yes, because as much as, and there's another one which I find fascinating because I'm going to give air time. We are an equal opportunity process in a positive way, not a negative. We can bash everybody equally, but
oh, yeah.
we'd rather not, is they have God Friended Me, which is a half-hour sitcom, actually, on television with a black man who gets friended by God on
Facebook. I have not
Facebook.
Heard of this.
Yes.
I haven't watched it.
I am so going to watch this.
Yes, it's called God Friended Me.
I love
God Friended Me.
I like the whole concept of it.
And it's taking the idea of social media and utilizing it in a manner just like, what was the other show, Touched by an Angel?
Okay,
that was another version of bringing that other part in. And I'm not going to say, well, because I'm a pagan and a witch and all this, this is totally because what it's doing, it's taking us and looking at our lives and saying, these things happen in our lives every day.
Right.
Whether it's you put a label on it as God or angel or, you know, goddess or Thor or whatever.
Right.
So, but yeah, I was just, I was, it's been on for, I guess, a couple of months now. So, yeah.
I have to check that.
Yes. For those of us who watch television, there's a long story about that too, but I actually now have my internet so I can go back again to other things. But that being said, Thor has, you know, a magnetism.
Yeah.
He's got all that burly, you know, stuff. I, you know, when I look at Mars or Aries, as we call him, they have him. He's got the warrior aspect, but I don't know.
He's not the same. And if you, because we like to go, oh, well, this god's the same as this god, the same as this god. If we had to pick a Norse god to be like Mars, it would be Tyr, the warrior.
Yeah.
Right? Thor is, he doesn't have very many contemporary counterparts
in
other cultures.
Yeah.
He's kind of an amalgamation of these different energetics. And as much as we think of him as the warrior and the fighter, and I think a lot of that is comic book influence.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
He's also connected to fertility.
Yep.
And thunder and lightning. And
agriculture.
And his wife, Sif, is the goddess of grain.
Yep.
And it requires, there's an old superstition. It's actually not old. It's modern. It's an old superstition that still exists.
Mm-hmm.
That the grain can't grow until the lightning strikes the ground.
Wow.
And that it's the fertility of the land and the sky comes together that allows the grain to grow. And that is the interplay between Thor and his wife, Sif. That is their union of lightning striking the ground.
Wow.
Right? So he's not just a dumbass that bashes people with a hammer.
Right.
You know, he's not a mindless machine.
Right.
He's immensely in love with his wife. He's a fighter for the people. He sees through his brother, Loki, who's his
in and out
brother,
of the very story.
Right? He understands Loki's trouble and loves him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them get up to lots of shenanigans. Like, that's another thing that is really portrayed in the modern movies.
Right.
Is their relationship. It's super fraught with complication, and yet they love each other.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I think he's much more complex than the broad strokes of how he's portrayed.
Right, and I mean, we could sit and have, you know, like, this is what he belongs to, this is what he can be used for, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which is, you know, we can find that on the internet.
Yeah.
But it's more of getting to understand the character of this deity as much as it is the external words that describe it. It's interesting, you were talking about lightning. And I think I mentioned this, it will now have been on another show that you will hear because we've already done it, about entropy and the concept that if the, you know, again, sun strikes the ground, it produces heat, and that gets dispersed by plants that grow because that's the process. The same thing about lightning.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I went, wow.
Yeah.
Now that has been made, I've been made aware of this philosophy, this physics principle that is now taking hold in a much bigger way about distribution of life, i.e. what death and life are like.
Yeah.
That just made poor.
Changed your brain.
It's changed my brain. I had a lightning strike to the brain when it wasn't lightning.
That's amazing.
Yes. So it was really, that's really important because the cultures understood it in a very intimate way. And I think when you learn things about life and death and the things that come in between, in that manner, you have much more wisdom and understanding, and it helps. It's simple, and I think that's the point. It's simple, and things that were simple and have been simple are considered beneath.
Right.
And you're like, no, that's the basis and the foundation for all the complexities.
Right.
So,
yeah, simple is powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, Thor, you know, I was going to have you tell the story of, which you obviously know too, but it was, you know, that Loki and Thor have these different myths or legends or stories about what they get up to and how things go. And it's always about somebody taking the power implement, whether it's a weapon or it's a necklace or an object, and they have to get it back. And, of course, the bad guys are the giants and the trolls, right? You know, so they have to go back. But
you
the
know.
Interesting part of that is that from what I was able to see, when Odin decided to have, you know, he had his children, he had a bunch of giantess wives that he had the children with.
Right, and it's likely, again, just like we look at Greece with the Titans, it's likely the giants are the old gods.
Yes,
yeah,
that they kind of did. So that being said, they still have issues with the old gods. So, of course, every giant that does something bad, then they have this
right.
thing going on where they create these stories.
Yeah.
That, you know, well, we're going to go do this and we're going to do that, so.
Yeah, it's often, oh, crap, Loki did something weird and stupid and got rid of this sacred object or sold it or traded it or gave someone access to it. How are we ever going to get it back? I know, let's send Thor.
Yeah, exactly. And it's again, he doesn't go in bashing everything.
Right.
There's always other ways that he works on things.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I was sitting there and I was reading, you know, the different things, and I'm going, oh, this is a cute myth. This is interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I got to the one where he goes ahead and because his hammer has gotten stolen by this one giant, they decide that Loki and he are going to go under disguise.
Right. I think the other part of that story, correct me if I'm wrong because I don't have them all fresh in my brain,
okay,
is that Freya was aligned to marry this person but didn't want to.
Right.
Right. So there was two things.
The one that she didn't want to do something.
Right. Right. Someone arranged her marriage and she was like, excuse me? and they had the hammer.
Right.
So Thor dresses as Freya.
Yes.
And pretends to be Freya, which, you know, I have a feeling that might be really obvious.
Especially
whatever.
With the red beard, but
right.
Okay.
Whatever.
With veils and things, he obviously,
sure. Like,
you know.
Oh, Freya, how wide your shoulders got.
And how low your voice is.
Yeah. You've been working out.
and Loki comes up with the best things, like, you know, the reason why Freya, i.e. Thor, eats, I mean, is ravenous and eats like whole pigs and whole things and just goes through the whole thing, is that she didn't eat for 8 days before because she was so nervous and concerned.
Right. Oh,
and
my new husband.
My new husband.
I just want to make him happy.
And, you know, and then, you know, it gets to, I guess he's going to go kiss, the giant's going to go kiss Freya and sees the, you know, the big eyes and the red eyes, whatever, they were very, you know, intense. And it was like, well, she didn't sleep. She was so concerned for 8 days. I didn't know why they kept using eight, but 8 days. And Loki is just, you know, going on about this whole thing. And I was sitting here laughing because it was a cute story of conning.
Yeah.
Oh, and yet,
that's what Loki does.
This is what you're doing. You know, and then of course, at one point, you know, Thor decides, well, enough is enough, throws back the veil and does his thing. Because they bring, because this is the other part of the hammer.
Yeah.
Is that O's are taken on the hammer.
Right.
Rings are set upon the hammer to, in, if they were going to be married, this is part of the sacredness of this hammer and the energy, and it would be set there, and that would be where they would, you know, gain energy. And so that's what happened, is that the hammer was to be set in Freya's lap, air quotes, and that's when he had enough of being dressed like a woman and decided this was going to be it.
Got my hammer back. Guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, the hammer is the... No one can wield the hammer but Thor. It is his tool. It is his weapon of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And people make oaths on it. People make promises on it. They ask Thor to bless their union.
Mm-hmm.
They ask Thor to offer blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, one of the principles of paganism and witchcraft, what can cure can kill. What can heal can curse.
Right.
It's two sides of the same coin.
Right.
So to me, it makes perfect sense that this implement of fighting, this implement of killing,
yes,
is also an implement of blessing and bringing things together. It makes perfect sense.
Right. Well, we go to the more
well, ancient now, but we use it still, is that you're knighted. They take the sword, mm-hmm. but they take it flat of the sword,
right.
and they put it on shoulder to shoulder and then, you know, do the whole thing,
right.
rather than the entire sharp side knocking off your head,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it presents you with the concept that is much more consistent throughout all of what we talk about as deities or magic, or as Phoenix has said, what kills cures.
Right.
So do we want to take a quick
yeah,
break?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay.
Take a quick break.
A break.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 4 to 5, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Okay, well, that was quick, sweet, and to the point.
Just so I like it.
So, outside of the fact that we've obviously bantered and gone through a lot, some of the things that I found interesting was, you know, there's something about, and this is what I kind of wanted to throw at you, Phoenix, is that there was a lot of association with the bull.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that's something you came in contact with your research.
No, I would love to hear more about this.
Well, they basically talk about it is because he's the god of the woodland and son of heaven, but he's associated, the bull is one of the associations. And they kind of, I think what they're doing is the information I was reading links it back to Crete.
Okay.
So the voyagers go off and do their thing, and they come back with this great idea of Crete.
Yeah.
And the bull.
Yeah.
So I think that's how it got in, because I don't see it in any other context.
Yeah.
That would have been available for me to go, well, and you know this, and she would take off running with the statement.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, some of that makes sense. You know, definitely there is this connection in a lot of cultures between a bull and strength,
mm-hmm.
stubbornness,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, some of that energy. There's also many stories, like you mentioned this earlier, where he eats everything and he's ravenous,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There are many stories of him, like, eating cows or bulls whole.
Interesting.
Right? Like, or eating a whole bull or a whole cow.
Right.
And his appetite is ridiculous.
Well, you have to carry around that heavy hammer. You better be able, I guess.
Right, right.
Something of that nature. I kind of read that, and that's why I was looking at it going, I don't know, maybe that's just an offshoot of somebody's
right.
thing. But when I started reading about the voyaging and, you know, that was their trading, and he's part of that
right.
Energy.
Yeah.
That would be how they get it back.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, heck, you know, storms are his thing, and
mm-hmm.
because, of course, thunder.
Right.
And it's funny because Zeus was part of the thunder and lightning process.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I don't think Odin has that. He doesn't wield a lightning bolt.
No. No, Odin is much more... Odin is magic.
Yeah.
And Odin, like the Norse gods in general are way more queer than
mm-hmm.
we give them credit for, in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Odin knows the magic that only traditionally women would have practiced.
Right.
Right? And Thor is often, there are stories of him dressing in women's clothes.
Right.
And there's all of these stories where, especially the male gods, are more what we would say, quote unquote, feminine.
Right.
And it was not uncommon for the women of the time to be very masculine.
Right.
Right? Freya was a badass warrior. The Valkyries were badass warriors. Right.
Right.
So the lines of what gender was supposed to be were vastly different than what we look at now.
Mm-hmm.
But Thor is thunder and lightning. He is thunder and Mjolnir is lightning.
Right.
Right? So the two of them are that force together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it was very, because when I was, since we have talked about some of the Greek deities and we've gone, you know, we all, as we mentioned earlier, have studied those mostly in our, you know, school years.
Right.
They bring up those particular cultures. It's very interesting to see how you have what technically would be badass dudes,
yes,
having all of this more feminine or cross-dressing or whatever they're doing in their stories and their whole thing, whereas you're not exactly seeing Zeus dress up as a girl. He'll go change into a swan.
Right.
He'll go do, you know, like the
yeah, and but most of the time that's to trick a woman into having sex with
exactly.
Him.
Exactly.
I mean,
so,
come on.
Yeah, and I'm somehow, you know, we women want to have sex with a swan. You know, my brain.
You don't like me as a god, but maybe as this bird, you'll think it's more hot.
Oh yeah. So, but I'm interested in seeing as we go through the deities, the cultures they
yeah.
come from,
yeah.
and what they're thinking, what we're seeing through how these deities are brought to us,
yeah.
even in ancient times, more modern times, it's still the idea that the Mediterranean people
yeah.
are really into the male delineation of separation and
yeah.
nothing is, you know, it's here
yeah.
and there. Nothing goes in between, whereas obviously more of the Nordic Germanic, that area has more of that
well, and just
fluidity.
Back the layer.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is this timeline, 1,000 years earlier. 500 years earlier, 100 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
were they still doing it that way? Probably not. You know, this
yeah.
is the evolution of patriarchy, which has been a main source of power and influence and whatever for thousands of years.
Right.
You know, like our modern historical perspective that does not have any information that is not patriarchal.
Right.
Right. And even if it is, because I guess we could argue that maybe Egyptian and Sumerian cultures maybe were not patriarchal, but we're looking at it with a lens of patriarchy. I don't know
right.
what it's like to not live in patriarchy. I've lived in it my whole freaking life.
Right. And yet what we're seeing, and I think that's another part of what probably represents our beliefs and where witches and pagans and, you know, that alternate grouping is that it's more of mellowing the hard line.
Right. Yeah.
Because we can't go back
no.
to matriarchy, even if we tried.
No.
I mean, it would have to be such a war and such an obvious, aggressive process of that energy. It wouldn't, it's the evolution,
yeah.
not the deal,
right.
is it? Going the opposite direction.
Right. And it seems like we're coming in a cycle, too. We're
mm-hmm.
coming to a place from a societal perspective of more inclusion,
right.
inclusivity, more less concern about binaries, less concern
right.
about, you know, boys only act like this and girls only act like that, and that's the only way it can be. Like, we're
right.
we're evolving beyond that, and so
right.
that almost feels like a very long cycle that we're
yes.
reaching another side of.
Right.
You know?
And,
good for us.
And I think it's, you know, again, we talk about where, you know, we talk about Thor, but we're also talking about what Thor is part of, a movement, both here in this conscious day and age
yeah.
to what was there in the ancient times as much as we can ferret out. And I'm going to use the word, I marvel at the marvel
yeah.
of what comic characters have done. I mean, they've brought strong women.
Yeah.
You don't see wussy women. They may be some of them bad, but they are, you know, whatever. But it's always about the strong women. Wonder Woman. I was just having a small conversation with Phoenix before we got on the air that, you know, my daughter grew up in 1985 with the actual She-Ra He-Man characters, and they're reintroducing She-Ra and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
They just reintroduced the more modern version.
I had Wonder Woman underoos when I was little.
Oh, yes.
This T-shirt.
Yeah.
Tank top and the underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so about 5 years ago, I bought myself She-Ra underwear.
See, now there we are. My daughter, obviously, we were talking, and she got on Amazon, and I got a bunch of the wish list She-Ra stuff. And I'm sitting here thinking, I cannot, you know, my mind kind of goes in this circle of what we're doing is we're bringing back the energy.
Yeah.
But it's being brought into a more up-to-date process to what we're dealing with here.
Right.
So the masculine is doing the same thing when you see Thor. I mean, come on, the character, they got him joking, they got him doing these things, you know, whatever. It's not all, you know, gore and blood and, you know, ripping out throats.
No, and my let my brain start working before I start speaking. I was not interested in working with male deities at all, and not because I, you know, have anything against male deity or because I'm Dianic or anything like that. I just didn't have any interest in working with male deities. And quite some time ago now, I'm not even sure how long ago, not quite a decade, but close, Thor started showing up, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not really interested, but thanks. But he just kept showing up. And now where he shows up, and I'm behind in my gym activities, but he shows up for me at the gym. He's like, you know, faster, harder, more weight, stronger. Like, he is helping me reconnect to my body. And as a culture that tends to be disconnected from our bodies, like, I feel like that's where he's revitalizing himself.
Right.
As a way to reconnect to our bodies and to, you know, I never started working out because I wanted to look a certain way. I started working out because I wanted to feel a certain way. I wanted to feel strong. And he was like,
yeah.
You know, so I think there's a way we can take these ancient gods and work them into modern needs. If I was an ancient Norwegian woman, I would have been strong because I would have been physical all the time, working the land, dealing with animals, raising children, potentially even going to war or going to travel on the boats and invade. And, you know, I would have been very strong. I don't have to be strong physically now. I'm not strong physically right now, but I have a desire to feel strength.
Right.
And that is the basis of my relationship with him, right? And I think you can find a basis of a relationship with any god that fits a modern lens.
Yes, because it's like co-parenting a child. We're co-parenting. We're co-creating in this particular time frame. And each one of these deities that we, you know, I mean, talk about, we bring with us, whether it's our culture or not. And we go back and forth with cultural appropriation. Well, right now, the Nordic cultural appropriation, I don't think we're going to have the backlash. But you get into Caribbean, you get into Native American, you get into Aborigines, you get into Eastern. And, you know, we talked about Hindu deities and have talked about some of them. Yes, but, you know, quite frankly, they have a more, it's like you weren't born into it, you ain't going to understand it, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They don't, but they don't get freaky about you doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I wish that were more like the rest of the cultures and not having to fear so much.
Well, and, I mean, and these practices and these forms of worship, they were lost. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Sweden became a Christian nation. Their kings, and I don't remember what year because I suck at numbers, but their king was like, okay, we're Christian now, right? So you find folk beliefs still in Germany and Sweden and in the Scandinavian countries, you know, but the religious practices were lost.
Right.
You know, and there is a movement in those countries to revitalize them. The first pagan temple was built in just the last couple of years in Norway as a homage to Thor, right? So they are taking back their ancient practices that existed before Christianity. I think that's freaking powerful.
Yeah.
But I think these gods are accessible all over the world.
Right.
I feel that way about most gods. But
yes.
But you still want to understand their lineage and where they came from.
Right. And sometimes there's reasons why you... It's like being blessed. There was the movement of going to the Native Americans, and there were Native American medicine men and women who gave their blessing, and then suddenly those blessings weren't valid because of whatever, because people started to get upset.
Yeah.
And I get it. I really do. It's not, it's just you honor them, you deal with them, you feel them.
Right.
That's basically it.
Right.
And I am probably... the same. I have so many different deity patterns that I work with deities. Some are very personal. Others come when I'm in need of certain things. In terms of that, I don't go to my lineage. I mean, Italy is a little bit. Sicily is where my family comes from, and of course that's got so many crossovers that the lineage is woven like a tight tapestry.
Right.
So it would be really hard for me to pick one real thread and find it. Scotland is pretty easy, you know, they've got their thing, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's great. But I find that I am at this time frame, and, you know, and I'm going to say something on air that's really strange.
Uh-oh.
Okay, hang on, everybody. You know, with the name Elvira,
yeah,
it is a very unusual and very different name.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've either hated it or I've liked it. Now I embrace it.
Yeah.
But looking at its genetic makeup, you know, you look at L, how it's spelled,
right,
and you break it down, the E-L is of God, you know, and it isn't just of God like the male God. It is of that energy.
Yeah.
Not that I consider that, you know, like, okay, that's my blessing for everything. It just suddenly makes me wonder where that energy pattern goes.
Right.
And I have found that I have got a very deep and meaningful relationship with the archangels, which for a pagan witch
sure.
is kind of, you know, it makes me, I wonder...
Yeah,
you know where you know the energy pathways come and go from, because you know it's considered the sky or the upper, and I don't see it as that, but that is really part of who I am here in this day and age,
right?
And it has nothing to do with ever having any kind of Christian background. It just has to do with the energies of these beings as much as the energies of the deities that I work with that are more of the earth, of the genetic pathways that I come from. So it's combinations of what you work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I found Thor fascinating because I had to keep stopping myself from going to the Marvel comic process because that has been so iconic in our era.
Right.
That it's like, no. Back off and, you know.
In one of my first journey experiences with Thor, when I was finally like, okay, let's have a conversation, and I did a journey. And he showed up with his big red beard and his intensity, and I was like, oh, okay. And he laughed, and he was like, would you prefer I look like this? And then all of a sudden, Chris Hemsworth is in my journey, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to complain if you look like Chris Hemsworth, but... you know, I want you to look like however you look like. And it was, he was very mirthful about it and found it quite funny. But let them take the modern guys. Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It works. It works because it gets us there.
Yeah, it gets us there.
And I think that's the big key to unlock the process.
Yeah. And there are a lot of stories. There's the prose Edda and the poetic Edda that are stories that have been written down about Norse mythology. They're easy to find. They've been translated several times.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of reconstruction groups that work with Thor as a main deity.
Mm-hmm.
The Bloat or the celebration, right? There is B-L-O-T. Which is, there's the Bloat and the Sunball. Those are the two sort of celebrations. One is more religious and one is more just about drinking and toasting.
Lots of party.
Yeah, but if you start, and that is the thing about the Norse mythology and the culture, there's even a god called Bragi. You're supposed to be boastful and say, look at this badass thing I did. It's not about being shy and demure,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But look in your local areas and see if there are bloats happening. There's the Sons of Norway. There's one group that's a racist group and one group that's not. So I don't want to plug the racist group. I can't remember what it's called. but there are groups of people who are of Scandinavian heritage uh-huh. and lineage that live in the United States specifically. And they put on events. Like there's a Freya's Hall here in Sonoma County. Uh-huh. And they do like a winter holiday potluck. You know, uh-huh. it's not necessarily religious, but it is ancestral blood lineage.
Right.
And in saying that, there are, unfortunately, a lot of racist pieces of shit that are connected to revitalizing some of these
mm-hmm.
Traditions. So be cautious when you start exploring the Norse traditions and Norse groups and groups that are practicing or putting on ritual, that you don't stumble into a nest of bigots. You know, and I have some tattoos on me that are very Norse, and I have a Thor's hammer tattooed on my wrist. And sometimes I go, oh, God, I hope people don't assume that I'm a white supremacist because I have this tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Every once
mm-hmm.
in a while I get, like, a little weird feeling about it. And that bums me out.
Yeah.
That the symbology of my heritage is being co-opted by bigots.
Yeah.
And the message of those people, because I do want to be really transparent about this, the message of those people is that they want to recreate the whiteness and the religion of Europe. The religion of Europe. I'm going to say that one more time. The religion of Europe. There is no such thing.
No.
There is no such thing.
Never has been.
They're misguided.
Yes.
There is no whiteness of Europe or religion of Europe. That is complete and utter bullshit and fallacy, and it's just wrong.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly.
So if you are called to the Norse gods, if you want to develop a relationship with the Norse gods, if you want to explore this more, just understand that there are a little bit more sharks in the water than there might be in other groups,
mm-hmm.
and be really clear
mm-hmm.
that you're not getting involved with a nest of bigots.
Truly. And here, with that, I
yeah.
think we have come to our closing.
Uh-huh.
But that was a very good summation for modern day issues.
On my soapbox about racism.
Well, if you didn't, I would have,
yeah.
so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, well, and this show will air. It'll be our last show of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, have a happy and safe new year.
Please
and we'll
do.
See you in 2019.
In 2019, and take care.
Yay. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.